48 degrees, the barometer rising at 30.07. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Authorities in Florida are searching for a bank executive believed to be a kidnap victim. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Police are making a room-by-room search of hotels in the Hallandale, Florida area, trying to find the banker who made a phone call this morning saying he was being held for a $60,000 ransom. There's no sign yet of the man, Albert Dantzler, an assistant vice president of the City National Bank of Hallandale. The FBI says instructions were followed and the $60,000 in cash was delivered to the designated point, but no one picked it up. Randolph Hearst remains convinced his daughter Patricia had nothing to do with her own kidnapping. Hearst also says authorities had some possible forewarning of the abduction of his daughter and is unhappy nothing was done about it. More on the story from Ken Ackerman of station KCBS San Francisco.
Papers the SLA tried to burn 2 months ago when members set fire to a house near San Francisco fell into the hands of officers when the arson attempt partly failed. Patricia Hearst's name was on the SLA papers, and since the fire occurred before the kidnapping, that convinces Randolph Hearst that she had no foreknowledge of involvement with the SLA, that her abduction was not prearranged. The question: why was the Hearst family not informed that Patty's name was found in the effects of a terrorist group? Why wasn't she protected? The Attorney General of California said the so-called green notebook is news to him.
If there is a note that bears her name, hindsight would indicate that it would have been nice if some information would have been passed along to the Hearst, but that's hindsight.
Attorney General Evel Younger of California. The District Attorney of Alameda County said no official source would have jeopardized the case by releasing such information. Randolph Hearst says he cannot understand why he or Patty were not forewarned. Ken Ackerman, CBS News, San Francisco.
More news after this message.
We've got to pitch in to clean up America. And if everybody keeps pitching in, we can call on America. America the beautiful, once again.
In. Write United States Brewers Association, P.O. Box 2570, Washington, D.C., 20013. Let's all pitch in.
A gentle rain in one place can be a raging torrent in another. When disaster strikes, America has a unique emergency force, the American Red Cross, the good neighbor, on call 24 hours a day to give help on the next block or a continent away. If you need help, join us. If you can give help, join us. The American Red Cross. Help us help people just like you.
In Tokyo Saturday, a young woman sprayed red paint at the priceless painting Mona Lisa, which is on loan in Japan from the Louvre in Paris. The Da Vinci painting was not damaged. It's being displayed from behind a glass shield. Police say the young woman was handicapped and was angry because the Tokyo Museum has a policy of not admitting seriously handicapped people to the exhibition. Japan and China have signed a civil aviation agreement for direct flights between the two nations. Nationalist China is upset by this. The Taiwan regime says the agreement between Tokyo and Peking may mean barring Japanese planes from nationalist Chinese airspace, and they may regard Japanese planes as unidentified flying objects. The Hawaiian Islands were hit by a violent storm Friday and flash flooding. At least two people were killed. Several houses were swept into the ocean on the island of Kauai. Five other people were rescued from heavy surf off the island of Oahu. There are fears in diplomatic circles that the renewed fighting between Israel and Syria along the Golan Heights could turn into another full-scale Middle East war. Several Israeli cabinet officials say the ceasefire with Syria is in danger of breaking down altogether. Both sides apparently lost several planes in dogfights over Mount Hermon on Friday. Israel said two of its planes were shot down, along with two Syrian jets. The Syrians claim to have shot down 17 Israeli planes. Relations between Libya and Egypt may be strained following an armed attack on the Military Technical College in Cairo, which left 11 people dead and 27 wounded. A statement from Cairo says the attack occurred early Thursday morning. The Egyptian government says the organizer of the group of some 20 attackers went to Libya last year to discuss the formation of resistance units in Arab countries. Now this.
A, we're the action corps. C, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
I, our ideals are high.
O, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C, D,
I.
We could go on all day.
Volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle's KIXI. Now the CBS Mystery Theater, brought to you in part by your friendly Tradewell store.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the fear you can hear. Welcome to the world of your own terrifying imagination. The art of the double cross, unfortunately, has become part of the fabric of our lives. In espionage, however, it is almost a lifestyle. In the world of spies, for the left hand ever to know what the right is doing is unthinkable. For the next hour, imagine that you are Larry Fielding, a 32-year-old newspaper man caught in a dizzying web of circumstances seemingly beyond his control.
Larry, please change your mind and come with me.
Not until you tell me who you are and why you sneaked into my hotel room.
You're a fool, Larry. You must know that the police are looking for you and they'll be here any minute.
Oh, well, you're here now, and I still want to know who you are.
If that's so important, my name is Carol Johnson. And when I tell you I know all about the murder of Dave Wilson, maybe you'll believe that I'm here to help you.
Our mystery drama, The Lady Was a Tiger, written especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett, stars William Redfield. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, I'm Goldilocks, Ms. Goldilocks, if you please, and I'm a professional taste tester. Here at my taste test laboratory, that's TTL for short, I taste test everything from porridge to diet drinks. Actually, there's not that much taste testing in porridge these days. There used to be once upon a time. I mean, that's how this Miz got into the biz. But lately it's been diet drinks. I mean, with so many diet drinks going sugar-free, I've been really busy conducting taste tests. A rather unbearable assignment, to be sure. But then I discovered sugar-free diet 7-Up. Fresh, natural, delicious. My only problem is that sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that it broke my Goldilocks diet drink taste-o-meter. Well, sugar-free diet 7-Up certainly has my seal of approval. This one's just right.
When you shop at your friendly Tradewell store, there's never any mystery about the values you receive. Tradewell offers the best food, the best selection, the best service, and at the best possible price. So don't be mystified about shopping for food. Shop at your friendly Tradewell store and stretch your food dollar without sacrificing quality. Here are some of this week's specials at Tradewell. Fresh pork rib chops, 98 cents a pound. Mrs. Filbert's margarine, 39 cents a pound. Washington Red Delicious apples. Controlled atmosphere gives them that just picked flavor, 29 cents a pound. Flavorful artichokes, 3 for $1. Shop Tradewell for quality with economy. Tradewell is headquarters for USDA Prime Beef.
Great exercise, and with good weather can also be great fun. But not when you've just been fired by the editor of the newspaper for which you've worked happily for 5 years. Larry Fielding has been walking aimlessly for 2 hours, trying to figure out why Horace Finley, the editor and his boss, had refused to give him any reason for his dismissal. Tormented by his frustrating thoughts and tired, Larry sits down on a park bench to think. He is so deep in thought, he is unaware of three men who suddenly surround him. Larry has only to look at them to know that he is in trouble. He tries to get up, but is pushed back down, and the men start to beat him up.
No, take my money and leave me alone, will you? Look, if you want money, I told you, you can have it. Help!
Calling for help when you're being mugged in a big city park is sometimes as helpful as trying to catch hold of a windowsill in a 30-story fall. But this time, there was a miracle. A stranger has seen the attack and rushes to help.
Hang in there, man! Here comes...
That's a nice jaw you have there, fella. You need a lesson in kicking.
That
took care of them. They're gone.
Oh, thanks.
Let me help you up.
Thanks, mister. Thanks a lot, I tell you. I was in real trouble.
My pleasure. Did they get your wallet?
No. I got a lot of bruises, but they didn't get a thing. Say, you're a pretty good scrapper for a
guy my age.
Well, yeah. Hey, what are you, a karate expert?
Oh, just keep myself in shape.
You sure do. Listen, can I do something for you to show you really meant thanks?
You certainly can. How about coffee?
Oh, sure, but that's nothing. What I meant was...
I know what you meant. My name's Dave Wilson.
Oh, good. I'm Larry Fielding.
Oh, come on, Larry. Let's have a cup of coffee.
You know, I still can't get over the way you tore into those guys.
I was a commando in World War II.
World War II?
Did you think I was in the Civil War?
No, I didn't mean that. It's just...
Well, to a young fellow like you, World War II might as well have been in the last century. It was only 30-some-odd years ago, you know.
Oh, I know. After all, I was in the newspaper business.
Yeah, that stuff which you told me about losing your job. What are you going to do?
Oh, I don't know. Look around for another one. What bothers me is the way my editor let me go. No explanations. You know, we were friends. You'd think he'd at least tell me why he fired me.
Those things happen. Stop torturing yourself and begin making plans.
No, not until I get this thing straightened out in my own mind. I think I'll call my editor at home tonight and...
I've got a better idea.
Go out and get drunk, huh?
Nope. How about a trip to Paris?
Are you putting me on?
I'm serious.
Well, what are you? A scout for contestants for some kind of TV quiz show?
No. I am a man sitting on a couple of $100,000.
What?
And I need a guy just like you.
Now, look, I'm a newspaper man. Anytime a stranger starts talking about a trip to Paris and a couple of $100,000,
Walk away without even listening?
Yeah.
Even if the man just happened to maybe save you from being mugged, robbed, and beaten up?
Okay, all right, I'll listen. But believe me, that'll be it.
Fair enough. First, here's my card.
Oh, David Wilson Calridge Imports. I never heard of him.
You can call and check me out. I told you I was in World War II.
Oh, look, I'm grateful to you, but you're wasting your time.
Why don't you shut up and listen? You've probably heard about the millions of dollars in artworks and precious jewels that the GIs liberated during the last days of the war.
Liberated, sure, yeah. Well, I've heard stories.
Well, most of them are true. One that I know in particular certainly is. Did you ever hear of the Lancer collection?
The Comte
de Lancer came from an old French family. And the Lancer collection is a fabulous assortment of diamonds, rubies, emeralds, and other precious stones, which were seized by the Nazis when they swept through France in 1940. A pal of mine, not a commando, happened to come upon the collection when the Americans were driving the Germans back in 44.
Wait a minute. And he liberated it?
Exactly. He and a distinguished Frenchman named Henri Thiel.
What? Professor Henri Thiel? The archaeologist?
That's the man.
Oh, come on. He wouldn't,
You were saying something?
No, nothing.
You were about to say he wouldn't get involved in anything crooked, weren't you?
Yeah, something like that.
You're right, he wouldn't. But he was younger. The world was quite different then. And my GI pal was a most persuasive guy. They decided to bury the Lancer collection. They did. They drew a map. And today, Professor Thiel is the only possessor of that map.
Uh-huh. And what happened to your nameless friend?
He's dead. Professor Thiel wants to return the jewels.
That's easy, isn't it?
Not if the professor doesn't want embarrassing questions asked about how he came by the map in the first place.
Oh, I see. What about you?
Calridge Imports is a highly respected and reputable importing firm. I want to keep it that way.
Oh, so do I, even though I've just been fired.
You haven't heard what I'm asking you to do.
Well, what?
Come with me to Paris. You're writing a story on Professor Thiel. He's good material. You'll grant me that.
Yes, yeah.
You'll interview him, naturally. During the course of that interview, he'll give you a slip of paper, which is a map showing the location of the jewels. You'll later deliver it to me. And that's all you have to do.
You, mentioned something about sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars?
That's right. The Lancer collection is worth that and more. I'm sitting on it. I intend to return the jewels and collect a reward. If you want to share in that, you deserve it. Mrs. Wilson, the report is positive. Fielding has agreed to go to Paris with me. He bought the story about picking up a map showing the location of the Lancer collection. Operation successful. Better be on your way, Larry. You're due at Professor Thiel's in 10 minutes.
I suppose it's too late to back out, huh?
You can always back out, Larry, but I don't think you will. There's really nothing to it. Make it look like a normal interview, take notes. The professor will give you the map, slip it in with your notes, bring it back to me here. I'll be waiting.
Okay.
Larry.
Yes?
Relax.
Oh, sure thing. I'll see you.
Would Monsieur mind if I join him?
I wouldn't mind at all, but I don't think I'm what you're looking for.
Oh, but Monsieur is exactly what I seek. Exactly.
And just what is it you're seeking?
To warn you that you are in grave danger.
Why don't you come off it with that phony accent? If you've got something to say to me, say it.
Would Monsieur buy me a Pernod?
Sure. Garçon, Pernod, please.
Monsieur, it is very difficult for me. I do play a role, as you have guessed. And I am not here by chance. You must leave, and quickly.
Your Pernod, monsieur.
Not for me, it's for the lady.
And for you, I have a knife.
Oh,
mademoiselle, go.
But he's going to die.
Do as I say. There'll be no problem. Simply put his head down gently on the table. So. And people will see another drunken tourist.
Your name is Larry Fielding. You're 28 years old. and you're feeling marvelous. You have just completed a fascinating interview with Professor Henry Teal, and you have the paper that you're going to hand over to your friend who's waiting at Les Deux Magots. You see him at the table where you left him. His head is down, but you're not concerned.
Dave! Dave, wake up! I saw the professor... What?
Monsieur, what has happened?
Well, I don't know. I came back to meet my friend. I guess he's passed out.
A moment, monsieur. Look. This man has been murdered.
What?
Stabbed to death. You will wait here for the police.
I will not. I'm getting out of here.
Who's there?
Design. Open up.
What's the matter? What happened?
The other American. The young one. He got away.
You let him go?
He panicked. Ran.
Now what?
He'll probably go back to his room at the Dauphine. You'll check.
But aren't the police looking for him?
I hope so. I gave them a complete description.
And what do I say to them if they find me in his room?
Come, a beautiful young lady like yourself. Get to him and find out where the paper is.
Promise not to scream. Right, right. Okay. Now, why have you picked the lock in my room?
Never mind. You have to get out of here.
Not until you tell me who you are.
If that matters, my name is Carol Johnson. I've been sent here to help you.
Oh, sure.
I know about the murder of your friend.
Wait a minute. Sent by whom?
I'll answer your questions while we're on the way.
On the way to where?
Safety.
I don't need to run. I didn't kill anybody. I'm not about to take off with a strange girl, particularly not one who's equipped with skeleton keys.
Oh, suit yourself. Goodbye.
Come in.
Monsieur de Rancidine.
Yes?
Inspector Victor Roux, Sûreté.
Oh.
You will please come with me.
What for?
Suspicion of murder of another American? Monsieur David Wilson.
Inspector, listen. Why would I kill Dave? I've already told you I had an appointment to meet Dave at the cafe. He was waiting for me. Would I have walked up to a man I just killed and shake him so that he'd fall down and make a big scene?
That is your explanation. There is nothing to support it.
Yes, well, there's nothing against it either.
There is the word of Louis Goret.
Who's he?
The waiter who attended the table at which Monsieur Wilson and you sat. The only reason that you are not, as of this moment, charged with murder is because you did return. That much the waiter's testimony supports. Only he says that Monsieur Wilson might very well have been dead shortly after your return, and that you had time to kill him.
That's a lie.
So you say.
Oh, just check with Professor Teal. He'll tell you what time I arrived, what time I left.
We have been trying. And there has been no answer. Ah, we may have him on the telephone now. Hello? Eh? Ah? So? Voilà bien. Merci.
All right, well, what did he say?
That was not Professor Teal. That was his apartment. And his servant.
His servant? There was nobody there when I saw him.
Don't you mean if you saw him, monsieur?
Oh.
According to the servant, Professor Teal left for an extended holiday early this morning, and it is not known when he is expected back.
Your name is Larry Fielding. You're 32 years old, and you find yourself in prison in Paris. Accused of murder. You know you've been had, and you're dealing with forces that seem beyond your control. You have a million questions, and the only man who could answer them is the man you're accused of killing. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows?
or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine, but Budweiser beer is a hearty drink, brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste, smoothness, and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability, too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference, and that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
In 1919, someone had a big idea. Let's help youth understand big business by starting them in small businesses of their own. And Junior Achievement was born. Each group elected a board of directors, chose a product, set up a production line, sold stock, and went into business. That year, 314 students made and sold products and learned the business of business. Today, Junior Achievement has grown to nearly 200,000 members. Junior Achievers are designing and marketing their own products and services, from cutting boards to printing. They're organizing sales efforts, writing marketing plans, calculating profit and loss. Running these small businesses helps Junior Achievers understand how big business works. Support Junior Achievement, where youth learns the business of business. Call your local Junior Achievement office.
To many Americans, Paris means visits to the Louvre, strolls along the Seine, or fine food. But to Larry Fielding, it means the inside of a prison cell, where he sits accused of a murder he didn't commit. Fielding knows he's been caught up in something that involves more than the recovery of some stolen jewels. However, what he doesn't realize is that he's the key pawn in a deadly game, and the players are about to make some moves.
I don't think it's smart to have me come here so often.
I would not have sent for you if it were not necessary. Do you still believe that Fielding knows nothing about the operation?
I do.
Then where's the document?
Well, we don't know he ever had it, do we?
We know he visited Thiel. We know that Wilson waited for him at Les Dubagots. We know he came back there. I think it is safe to assume that he was carrying the plans.
And he didn't have it on him when he was arrested.
Roger arranged to be there when Fielding was brought in and searched. He says there was nothing on him.
But he wasn't picked up right away.
Exactly. He eventually went back to his hotel room, as you know. I believe he has the paper and that he has somehow managed to hide it. He does us no good in prison. We shall have to arrange to have him released.
And how do we do that?
We don't. You do.
Sit down, mademoiselle. Your passport says Carol Johnson.
That's right, Inspector.
And I am told you are in my office because of the unfortunate incident in the Café Les Deux Magots.
Yes, Inspector. I just had to come here to tell you you have the wrong man.
Ah? And how do you know that?
I'm studying at the Sorbonne. I visit Les Deux Magots all the time. I was sitting right there when that man was murdered.
Formidable. You saw a man murdered and you did nothing.
Oh, at the time I didn't know it was a murder. I just thought the man had too much to drink or was ill. But the reason I know that you've arrested the wrong man is that the murdered man was dead before this young American Fields
Fielding.
Yes, well, the man was dead before Fielding ever got to the table. Fielding came and shook him, and that was when it was discovered that he was dead. I'm prepared to swear to that, Inspector.
Of course you are prepared to swear to this story that you have just told me.
Why not? It's the truth.
Of course, mademoiselle. Why would a beautiful young lady like yourself lie to an inspector of the Sûreté?
I'm not sure that I like the way you say that, Inspector. But everything will be all right if you release young Fielding.
You have told me you will swear to this statement of yours in court. Therefore, I have very little choice.
Ah, good.
But, mademoiselle, I have been a police officer for 20 years. Long enough to know that witnesses who appear late with an alibi for an accused murderer often have reason.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And I also wish to warn you, mademoiselle, that the Sûreté considers this a very much open case.
That is the business of the Sûreté. Au revoir, Inspector.
Gérard, you will follow the young lady who just left my office. And do not lose her.
Hello there.
Oh, it's you.
Want to give me a lift?
Well, I suppose I owe you something for getting me out of jail. Taxi! Taxi! There, we got one. Hop in.
Oh, thanks.
Driver, Hotel Dauphine.
Well, you look pretty good for a jailbird.
You look pretty good yourself, Herb. Come to think of it, what are you?
An American girl in Paris trying to make a living. What are you?
An American in Paris in need of a bath, a drink, and some food.
You know, you're not bad looking.
Oh, thanks. While we seem to be exchanging compliments, can I say you're about the best looking girl I've seen since I've been here?
Thank you. Now that we like each other so much, don't you think it's time we started telling each other the truth?
Yes, I'll buy that. Écoutez-moi, operator. You speak English. Okay, well, look, I phoned the desk about an hour ago to get this room straightened up, and so far nothing's happened. Now, can you please just send someone up so I can sleep here tonight, huh?
Oh, while you're at it, where's our food?
Wait a minute. That's a different department.
Oh.
I'll have to call room service again.
Oh, maybe you won't have to bother.
Entrée.
Oh, dinner, monsieur. Madame.
Merci.
Monsieur would like me to serve.
No, thanks. No, I think I can handle it myself.
As monsieur wishes.
Wait a minute. Don't I know you?
I think not, monsieur.
Now, I've seen you before. I'm sure I've seen you.
Paris is a large city, monsieur. One passes people on the streets and...
This is the streets. The streets, that's it. You're the same guy who was at the Café Le Deux Magots.
Monsieur is mistaken.
What? Hey, wait a minute. Come back here. I want to talk to you.
Oh, now don't go chasing him down the hall.
Why not? Listen, Carol, I'm positive he's the same waiter...
You just deny it and you can't prove it.
But...
Even if you could, what do you think it means?
Well, it means... Well, I don't know. But if I get him to talk, maybe I'd find out something.
I thought you were going to clue me in.
Oh, yeah. Listen, have you ever heard of the Lancerre collection?
Of course. It's in the Louvre.
Oh.
The family of Comte de Lancerre gave it to the museum after it was recovered when the Nazis fled Paris.
What?
Well, why does that shake you up so much?
Because it can't be true.
Come with me to the Louvre and I'll show it to you.
Well, that changes everything. Come on.
Where are we going?
To the American consul.
Well?
Unbelievable.
What?
Simply unbelievable. Do you know what the consul told me?
I predicted it, didn't I?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to hear about it at all. Just advised me to forget the whole thing and leave France. Incredible!
Well, not really, when you understand that he doesn't know what you're talking about.
But you do.
Some of it.
Okay, take me back to the hotel.
Any reason?
I'm taking the consul's advice. If nobody's interested, I'll go back to the States.
Now that they've cleaned up the room so nicely, you're leaving.
Well, do you have a better idea?
More than one.
I think I'll take them one at a time.
Number one. Give me the paper Professor Teal gave you.
Well, it looks like we're finally going to level.
Where is it?
Well, first you tell me something. What is it?
I don't know.
End of conversation.
Larry, listen to me. I work for Colonel Blake, military intelligence. I was assigned to this operation.
What operation?
All I was told was that Dave Wilson, who also works for us, was coming over here with you, and that you were to get something from Professor Teal and give it to Dave.
Teal worked with you, too?
He did. But now his cover is blown, and I don't know where he is.
Who killed Wilson?
I don't know. It could have been any one of three or four foreign powers.
And the only reason I'm alive is because somebody wants the paper.
That's right.
And if I give it to you, then there's really no reason not to kill me.
Oh, give it to me. I'll get it to Colonel Blake and we'll get you safely out of the country.
No, hold on, hold on. I got a better idea. I'll go with you to Colonel Blake and we'll give it to him together.
No, that would be too dangerous.
To whom?
Will you please trust me?
Give me a reason.
Please, where is the paper?
I burned it.
You expect me to believe that?
Why not? You expect me to believe everything you tell me?
You admit you had the paper. And somehow, between the time you ran from Les Deux Margaux, you managed to hide it in a place where experts have been unable to find it.
I told you I burned it.
And you know that's a fairy tale that no one will believe.
I don't care whether you believe it or not. Now, are you coming with me?
Where?
To talk to your Colonel Blake.
He won't see you.
Oh, I think he will. Goodbye, Carol. It was nice knowing you. I think...
You will kindly step back into your room, Monsieur Feeling.
Now, wait a minute.
Move. Let me introduce myself. I am Major Simonovich.
Oh, of the GPU or the NKVD?
It does not really matter. What matters is that you and I have something to discuss.
I warned you.
Yeah, sure you did. Just like a rattlesnake does.
I do so dislike dealing with amateurs. This is strictly a business.
You mean you want to make a deal with me?
Correction. I mean you would find it wise if you wanted to make a deal with us.
For the paper?
Exactly. Where is it?
No, not so fast, not so fast. You spoke about a deal?
You give us the paper, we give you your life.
You must really believe I'm an idiot. You people murdered Wilson. That paper is the only thing that's keeping me alive.
You have my word.
No deal!
Do you really believe you have a choice? Carol, call Rodzhansky. Make the usual arrangements. We will wait here.
Donnez-moi 80-36, s'il vous plaît. C'est ça. Merci.
Carol.
Yes?
Tell me something. Will I like Rodzhansky?
By this time, Larry Fielding realizes that he's been used. That he was never supposed to bring Dave Wilson a paper telling the location of the Lancer jewel collection. But his discoveries have only added to his dilemma. He was quick-witted enough to realize that his only hope was to hide the paper, because that slip of paper is his last resort. We'll be back shortly with Act 3.
Great-faced in the morning, Kellogg's. Kellogg's has that wholesome taste to get you up and grinning.
This is Jerry Coffer for Kellogg's Special K. We've been having some fun in our television and radio commercials by using a ball and chain to symbolize the slight overweight problem common to so many of us. We point out that being a few pounds overweight is just a little more difficult for you. Climbing stairs, just walking around, even sitting down can feel, well, like you're wearing a ball and chain. In case you missed the message, it's this. If you really want to get rid of that extra weight, you really have to work at it by exercising and with sensible meals like the Special K breakfast. A 1 ounce bowl of Special K, America's favorite high-protein cereal, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee, less than 240 calories, nutritious, and by the way, delicious. So why not begin each day with a Special K breakfast and then keep up the good work? Special K can't help you lose weight all by itself, but it really is a good start.
Hi, I'm Hal Linden. There's a lot of talk these days about America's energy crisis. Talk about doing without heat, about doing without our cars, about what's going to happen if we run out of fuel. Well, we may not have to run out of fuel if we all work together to conserve the fuel we have. That means turning your thermostats down to 68 degrees during the day and turning them down to 60 at night. It means turning off lights, TV sets, and electrical appliances the minute we're finished with them. It means driving no faster than 50, starting or joining carpools, avoiding the kind of stop-and-go motoring that eats up gas by the gallon. In short, it means saving every ounce of energy we can, every chance we get. So please, do your part to make the fuel supply stretch a little further. For your own sake, don't be selfish. Don't be foolish. Don't be fuelish.
This message from the Federal Energy Office and the Advertising Council.
Newspaper man Larry Fielding sits waiting in his Paris hotel room, closely guarded by three members of the Russian secret police and the beautiful American girl, Carol Johnson. They are waiting for a man named Rozanski, who might very well be, for all Fielding knows, his executioner.
You know we mean to obtain the paper. Rozanski is a doctor and a chemist. He'll be here shortly. You will be put to sleep painlessly. You'll be taken from here in an ambulance to a safe place, and there you'll be injected with sodium pentothal, Fielding. You will tell us.
Look, I don't suppose you'll tell me what's so important about this piece of paper.
You have heard of the SAM-6 missiles, the surface-to-air weapons with deadly accuracy that we have developed and which were used so successfully in minor wars in Asia and the Middle East?
Yes, yes, I've heard of them.
Good. We learned that someone whose identity we still seek has invented a jamming device which would render this M6 almost worthless.
Ah.
We don't believe that any such system can be invented, but we do not take chances. We have reason to believe that the piece of paper that you carried away from Professor Teal's has the information for building such a device. Ah, that will be Rozanski. Carol, admit him.
Of course. Come in, doctor. This is the patient.
Now, look, I really don't think this is necessary.
It will be easier if you don't force, young man.
I don't intend to make...
Hold it. Now, his arm. Hold it still.
Good. You brought a stretcher.
Of course. There. You'll be under in a moment, so we can leave. Gendarmes!
It has nothing to do with us. We are taking a sick man to the hospital. Put this stretcher into the ambulance. Quickly!
I must apologize, but we received a report from the hotel concierge that there was a dead man here.
Absurd, Inspector. This is Dr. Rozanski. The doctor will explain this to you, Inspector.
This man became suddenly quite ill. I gave him a sedative to quiet him, and we're now taking him to the Lefebvre nursing home, as you can see by the ambulance.
You say he is alive?
Very much so. See for yourself.
Ah, mon Dieu. I know this man.
Inspector, he must receive medical attention.
Of course, but I suggest that instead of taking him to the nursing home, he go instead to the police hospital.
That's ridiculous. He's my patient.
I am afraid I must insist. This young man has most recently been released from jail, where we were holding him on a charge of murder.
If he has been released, then
why... Released, yes. But he has not been completely cleared, so... Laurent, Vivian, take this man to the police hospital.
Did you get a report?
Yes.
And?
He'll be conscious in an hour.
And he will talk.
I'm sure of that.
He will scream to see Colonel Blake, and then your cover is blown, and the whole operation goes fooey.
What do we do?
Silence him.
But what about the papers?
We will be faulted for that, of course. But if we do not have it, neither do the Americans. Who do we have in the police hospital?
Only Leclerc.
A weakling. But he can admit Rozanski.
Rozanski's a doctor. He doesn't need Leclerc to admit him. He can visit his patient openly.
Thank you, my dear. I visit Fielding and he dies shortly thereafter. That idea does not appeal to me.
We have to do something.
You're both right. Carol, you will be his first visitor when he regains consciousness.
No.
Yes, Carol. Rozanski, Give her your hypodermic kit.
I don't have to do this, and I won't.
You would prefer that in my report I mention your failure with Fielding when you had some hours alone with him?
I'll go.
That is wise. Rodzinski, give her the syringe.
Here.
Quickly. The car is waiting. And Carol, if you should decide, or even think, about changing sides, it would be most unwise. You know the French police are still most interested in the person who murdered Wilson.
You awake now, Larry?
Oh, no.
Wake up and listen to me, Larry.
What?
You've got to listen. Try to understand me.
Wait a minute. What kind of a place is this?
You're safe. It's a police hospital.
All right, but how did you get in here? Where's Rodzinski?
Look, I can understand how you feel and why you don't trust me, but the truth really is that I am a double agent.
Oh.
Do you understand what a double agent is?
As near as I can figure out, a double agent is somebody working for two different sides.
Yes.
And neither side trusts them.
Oh.
You know, that fits you to a T. You might just be telling the truth.
I am. I really work for Colonel Blake, as I told you. The Russians know it. They think I've infiltrated the U.S. military intelligence. But in
fact... Yes, I know. You've really done just the opposite.
Yes.
Worked your way into the Russian apparatus.
Exactly. Oh, Larry, how can I make you believe me?
You can't.
Listen. You were deliberately recruited. The reason you lost your job was because we got in touch with your boss. He agreed to go along. The men who jumped you were part of the setup so that Wilson could save you.
Hey, now, wait a minute. But that doesn't prove a thing. You could have learned all that working for Blake and still be with the other side and...
Oh...
Speaking of Wilson, how about getting him killed?
I tried to warn him, but there wasn't enough time. It was either go along with that or blow my cover and endanger the whole operation.
And when I wanted to give the plans to Blake, you objected.
Same problem if I went with you to Blake or you went to him after we had talked. My cover was blown.
Now, suppose I had given you the plans. How would that have changed the situation?
We would have had a phony copy that I would have delivered to Igor and everything would have been fine. And there's still time for me to do that. If you will just believe me and tell me where the plans are.
I'd like to believe you. I really would.
Please, where are they, Larry?
Get me to Blake.
It's too dangerous. Look, you see this?
Yeah, it's a hypodermic.
It's death. Igor sent me here with this to kill you. Now, do you believe me?
Wait a minute. If you don't kill me, and I guess you don't intend to, what will Igor and his friends think? Isn't your cover blown then anyway?
Could be, but if I come back with the plans and say that I got them out of you without having to kill you, there's a chance they'll believe me.
Uh-huh.
Well?
I'm thinking. Who are you?
One of the hospital guards, monsieur.
Oh.
Mademoiselle, you have been here some time. How is the patient?
Guard.
Yes, monsieur?
Call Colonel Blake at U.S. Military Intelligence. Tell him I've got to see him right away on a matter of the utmost urgency.
Colonel Blake?
Colonel Blake.
I will inform my superior.
Now, you don't have to inform anyone. Just call him.
Yes, monsieur. The major will be disappointed you have not followed the instructions.
You are a fool. I would have had the information if you hadn't come in when you did.
I know what you were ordered to do.
What? What's this?
A moment of truth, I'm afraid, Larry.
Oh, I know how highly the Major regards you, mademoiselle. But I also know what he thinks of me. Tonight will change that. Give me that syringe.
Here, right in your arm.
Oh, you traitor. I knew.
Carol, you... You were telling me the truth.
Yes. Yes, I was. And I had to kill him. To make you see it. Where is the paper, please?
In my hotel room.
Oh, aren't you ever going to stop playing games? You know your room was searched.
Let me get dressed and I'll show you.
If it's not here, there's going to be the devil to pay.
Don't worry, it's here.
Now I'm the one who has to be shown. Trained operatives from two special branches went over this room with everything except Geiger counters.
Okay, okay.
Where are we going?
The bathroom.
That was searched, too.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Oh, we went through that cabinet.
Did you now? What do you see?
Towels, paper tissues, some of your toilet articles. We took your razor apart.
Uh-huh. And what else?
A roll of toilet tissue. Unopened.
And as the French say, mademoiselle, voila!
Oh.
And now we unroll this toilet tissue and keep on rolling it, and...
Oh, my God. Where did you learn to open a package and reseal it like that?
When I was a kid, I was the best clerk in Roscoe's shipping department.
Oh, thanks. It was nice knowing you. I really mean that, Larry.
Hey, wait a minute. Surely I've earned the right to buy you dinner.
I'd like to.
Well, you'd better, or I'll start doing some talking.
Blackmail?
You said it.
All right. I'll meet you at Les Deux Magots at 10:30.
No way. Let's try the right bank, La Rotonde.
That's a date. I'll see you.
You better be there.
Shirts, ties, yes, I think that's everything. Come. Oh, it's you, Rodzinski. Are you coming with me?
I am staying.
And we shall say goodbye. I do not have much time. The plane from Moscow leaves in...
I do not think you'll be taking the plane.
Are you insane? You know I've been recalled.
Not precisely.
What do you mean, not precisely?
Moscow feels you have bungled badly.
So? It's not the first time that an operation has been...
First, you were duped by the American girl. You know she was a double agent?
I know now. Did you know before she killed Leclerc?
I was not in charge at that time.
At that time?
Now there are two murders that cannot be hushed up. The French police must have a murderer to satisfy the public.
Then give them Carol. She...
I only wish that we could. They want you. You have been chosen to be the murderer. I am replacing you as the head of this section.
Ridiculous! I won't remain quiet. I have a lot I could and will say to the authorities if Moscow abandons me. Now you listen to me, Rodzinski.
I have no time to listen.
Rodzinski, wait! I want to... Don't...
Oh. Igor, you should be pleased to know that your dying will serve a good cause.
Sorry, I'm late, but I...
But?
There were loose ends that had to be cleared up.
Well, I thought maybe you decided against coming.
Oh.
After all, your job here is finished.
Well, yes.
Sit down, sir. Now that the Russians know you, there's nothing for you to do. It would be suicide to try to, huh?
Oh, well, there are other things for me.
Sure. Like getting married to a lovesick newspaper man, settling down, raising a family.
Oh. Oh, I take it I'm your first Mata Hari.
Mm-hmm. First and only.
Mm. Well, Larry, we're very different from other women. In our business, you pay dues. And they're heavy payments.
I don't get it.
I'm talking about sitting at another cafe on the left bank. Sitting and knowing that an agent named Wilson was going to be killed. Clumsily trying to warn him and finally deciding that his death was the way it had to be. Larry, that's a big payment.
But you can forget about it now. It wasn't your fault.
No, forget about that and forget about Leclerc.
Well, you had to...
You see, it's even hard for you to say. I had to kill him. No, Larry, I have to keep on to justify those things.
But, Carol, listen...
Bye, Larry. Thanks for the champagne.
But our dinner. I've ordered dinner. At least have dinner with me.
Oh, we both know what I have to do. If I ever change my mind, I promise I'll come running.
Larry Fielding sat in La Rotonde and watched her walk away. He knew she was walking out of his life. For a moment, he toyed with the idea of running after her and joining her world of spies. He flirted with the idea that he might even be some sort of an American James Bond. But then, the waiter brought the dinner. And to his surprise, he was hungry. And that realization made him wonder about whether or not he was truly in love. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this perfectly darling mirror in the showroom, so I bought it. But when the truck came, they delivered this thing I never saw before. Now what am I going to do?
Tell you what to do, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, the first thing to do is to call the store manager and tell him what happened. But in the future, when your merchandise is delivered, you should examine the item before the delivery truck leaves. And if it's to be delivered from a warehouse, have a clear understanding with the dealer that unless it is the same as the sample shown to you, you will not accept it or pay for it.
Oh, thank you.
Just part of my job, madam, to help people with their shopping problems.
Back in New York, Larry Fielding returned to his old job. An old friend and boss, Horace Finley, who was curious about what had happened in Paris. Finley kept pressing Larry to tell him about his Parisian adventure. Finally, Larry said, "I'll tell you, Horace. In Paris, the food was good." Our cast included William Redfield, Joan Loring, Roger DeCoven, Ian Martin, and Chris Gampel. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I really killed that boy, you know?
What did you say?
I killed him, Mr. Murray. I waited for him in the hallway the next day, and I grabbed him. He was a scrawny kid. It was like wringing in the neck of a chicken. I do the same thing again, Mr. Murray, to the next guy who bothers my wife. I gotta learn.
You lied to me. Every stinking word you told me was a lie.
Don't be sore, Mr. Murray. I couldn't tell you the truth, could I? I mean, you wouldn't have taken the case, would you?
Yes! I would have taken the case and told you to plead guilty with cause.
No.
I wanted you to get me off. And that's what you did. Look,
I've gotta go now, Mr. Murray. I just want to say thanks again.
Oh, you think it's that simple? You think you can just walk out of here?
Melanie's waiting for me. She likes to eat dinner early. The girl's always hungry. So long, Mr. Murray.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by new sugar-free diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Radio Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News coming up shortly on KIXI.
CBS News next on KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News, a Florida bank official believed to have been kidnapped on Friday was found alive this morning in the Atlantic. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. A spokesman for Broward General Hospital in Florida says Albert Dantzler was apparently dumped overboard from a boat and had been in the water about 2 hours. There's no immediate confirmation from the police or the FBI on this. Dantzler is an official of the Hallandale, Florida bank. He called his office Friday morning saying he had been abducted for $60,000 ransom. The money was delivered to the designated spot, but nobody ever showed up to get it. The hospital is quoted as saying Dantzler is worn out and unable to talk. More news after this message.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll-free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Dayan says Israel is now free to attack Syria without restraint. There are indications the shaky ceasefire along the Syrian front may break down altogether after more heavy fighting Friday, including a fierce aerial battle. John Lawrence was on top of the strategic mountain in the current struggle.
Israeli and Syrian warplanes fought their biggest single air battle since the October war today in a major escalation of the conflict around Mount Hermon. More than a squadron of Syrian jets, supported by intense anti-aircraft fire, intercepted the Israeli planes, shot down at least two of them. The Syrians claim they shot down 17. At the same time, the Israelis evened the score by their own count by destroying two Syrian planes. If the Israelis intend to give back the peak of Mount Hermon in the forthcoming round of negotiations with Syria, there were no such signs today. A rough road has been cleared to the top, and despite difficult breakdowns, traffic is moving slowly back and forth, much more of it up than down. John Lawrence, CBS News, at the top of Mount Hermon.
San Francisco city officials have been ordered into court next Tuesday to explain why they should not be prohibited from continuing random street searches of black men in the search for the so-called zebra murderer. The black suspect has killed 12 whites in recent months. The San Francisco NAACP says a police campaign of stopping and searching all blacks bearing any resemblance to the killer violates the U.S. Constitution. A federal judge in Washington has ordered Watergate prosecutor Leon Jaworski to turn over any evidence that President Nixon had any involvement in the Ellsberg break-in case. Judge Gerhard Gazell ordered Jaworski to give him and the defendants in the Ellsberg case any evidence whether the president might have authorized the break-in or known about it in advance. Dean Rusk, who was Secretary of State under President Johnson during the height of the Vietnam War, says if he had it to do over again, he'd try to place more decision-making responsibility on Congress. Rusk, in a speech in Atlanta last night, says he thinks the administration should have gone to Congress each year and gotten a vote on U.S. participation in the war. Rusk says at times members of Congress were willing to make public pronouncements about the war, but were reluctant to consult with the administration on war policy. Now this.
Hello, I'm Dolly Parton. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way, born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence. The March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects, a life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way. And birth defects are forever, unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation. A tomorrow without handicaps at birth. Please, give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
A Florida man says he'd like to see President Nixon out of office. It has something to do with water, but not Watergate. Joe Rimkus likes to fish in the waters off Key Biscayne, Florida, where the president has a waterfront home. Rimkus says he's mad because the president has taken over his fishing hole. The Coast Guard won't let anybody in a boat within 1,000 yards of the compound. Rimkus says that interferes with his angling for snapper, trout, and bonefish. Rimkus' boat several times drifted inside the compound, and the Coast Guard quickly chased him out. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
And CBS 4 Seattle, KIXI, the weather outlook, mostly cloudy with chance of showers through tomorrow. Periods of partial clearing during the afternoons. Highs near 60, lows in the mid-40s, and currently it's 48 degrees at 6 minutes past midnight.